Well, grab your Bible this morning and let's turn to the book of Matthew that is so ingrained in my mind over the last, 3 years. It's like a rut that when I'm an old guy and don't know what I'm saying anymore, that's what I'm going to be saying to all the people in the nursing home. So anyway, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. And find verse 3. Going to consider something that we use a lot of each and every day. Said that the average use of this is 6,000 times a day. These are just estimates. On up to 16,000 times a day you use this thing. It's used as a weapon when it's employed in certain ways. It can and has been used to literally bring people to the point of death. It is also something that is staining when used in the wrong way to the whole body. It's described as restless, can burn swaths of land, puts the Texas wildfire. This is going to be a bad day. Puts the Texas wildfires to shame. Puts the California wildfires to shame. It just burns. You can burn a swath of land with this. It is something that the Bible describes as being full of deadly poison. So it can be used as a weapon. Very bad, very dangerous, very awful weapon. But on the other hand, it can be used as a medicine. It's something that can bring people back to life. Something that can bring great healing within a person's life when it's employed in a different way. So what are we talking about this morning? Well, if you paid attention to your bulletin, you see the title of the sermon, Guard Your Mouth. We're talking about the words of your lips. We're talking about your tongue. We're talking about your mouth. It is a weapon or it is a medicine. It just depends how it is used. The Bible has so much to say about our words. If you've been here for the time that I've been here, you realize this is not the first time we've covered a subject like this, and it's not going to be the last. I can guarantee you that, because as you work through the Bible, and as you study through the Bible on your own, and as we work through it in the preaching of the Word, you'll notice that this is a subject that comes up over and over and over again in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So we've covered certain passages on it, but today I want to show you what the book of Proverbs has to say about it. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 13, but I'm going to read you a whole bunch of verses about it when we get that far. So let's stand together, and I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 13, beginning in verse 3. Just one verse this morning. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 3. The Bible says this: whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Let's bow and pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we consider this subject, is very prevalent in life. Every day we use our words. Every day we are communicating something. And we're communicating to people. Our wife, our coworkers, brothers, sisters, moms, dads, children, acquaintances, work relationships, just all over the board, Lord. And so I pray that you help us to consider what your word says about it, specifically in the book of Proverbs. That we take the things here, we hunger and thirst for the wisdom of your word, and we take these, we apply them, we live these out. And so, Lord, may the meditations of my heart, and Lord, may the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. And this time, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Point is very simple. In chapter 13, verse 3, it says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. So what are you supposed to do according to this passage? Don't make it too complicated. You're supposed to guard your mouth. Got it? Not too complicated. Guard your mouth. The question that I want to hammer home here, though, is why? Why guard your mouth? Why take care of the words that you're going to spit out? Why not just say and then think? Why not just spew it out what you feel? Why not just let your mouth lead the way and you follow behind it? Why should we guard our mouth? And I'm going to use, like I said, I'm going to use this proverb as the springboard, but I'm going to cover a whole bunch of them because there's a lot of subjects that recur. I've just been reading through Proverbs. There's just a lot of subjects that come up over and over again. Anger is one of them, you'll find. Money and how you handle your money is another big one in Proverbs. Friendship, that's a big one. But of the greatest of all of these, you'll notice that there is one that comes up over and over and over again. You want to guess what it is? It's the words of your mouth. It's what you say. It's what comes out of here. The breath that comes forward that runs across those vocal cords, whether they're big vocal cords and nice and deep, or whether they're real little vocal cords and they just barely make a noise. It comes up over and over in Proverbs. Someone said, I didn't count them up. When I was studying this out, on the side of all the Proverbs, I would write, here's the subject. So, you know, like friendship, I'd write that one. This one's about friendship, write it there. And this one's about the tongue. This one's about the tongue. I discovered some new ones and just wrote it on the side this week. Tongue. And then I did some more research. I'm like, well, you know, I think I read over some more of them. And so, like, by the end of it, I'm like, I'm so sick of writing tongue here. There's so many Proverbs about it, about the tongue. And so we want to give due attention to what is said here. Someone said there's like 90 different verses about the tongue in the book of Proverbs. But a few reasons to give your attention to this. There's three of them this morning. Majority of our time will be spent on the first one. The second two will take a combined total of like probably 3 minutes. So we're going to stick and park on number one here. Why should we consider the words that come out of our mouth? Why should you guard your mouth? The first one is this, because words have great power. Words have great power. Do you realize that your words have power? You ever considered that? Words have tremendous power. In the beginning, when God made the world, you might think, how did he make it? If you're just ignorant of the Bible, you would think, well, he took like a child with Play-Doh and he started working this thing into a ball and we got what we got. He worked it out with his hands. That's what you would think. But what does the Bible teach us? It said God did what? He spoke. He spoke and it was so. He said, water sit here and water was there. He said, land, you're over here. Divide the waters. Land is right there. And he said, sky set here, sky there. Animals be, animals were. Humans be, humans were. So the words of God's mouth have great power. Now you are created in the image of God. So you know what that means. Your words have great power. You're not going to speak and it be, but in some regard you can do that. And so you'll use your words to accomplish different things. It's basic communication. You do this all the time. Hey, son, go do that. And it was so, whether it required a spanking or not, it got done. You know, it got done. You talk to people and ask them a question. What do you get? You get an answer. And so your words have power in that way. You might use them to organize an event. We use our words every day to make money. You talk to people, you get around, and you ask questions, and you organize stuff, and you get work moving. You make money with your words. You use them to motivate. You use them to let someone know that you love them or that you care about them. And so they have great power in their working. Your words have great power. Now, I want to direct your attention to two different ways that you can use your words, and we'll consider these here for a little bit. Number one way that you can use your words is that you can use them to build. You can use them to take something that doesn't exist and make it exist. If you're married, your marriage didn't exist. Where did it start? With your words. Want to go on a date? I kind of appreciate you, you know, just depends how old you are as to how that comes out. But, you know, you use them to build something that doesn't exist. I'll give you some words that build. The first word, I don't have these all up here, so you just got to write them down on your own or keep track as we go through here. First words that build are honest words. If you want to build something, you got to start with honest words. When you go to the bank, they give you a loan. You say, I'm going to pay that back. What is that whole system based on? Your honesty. You go to the bank, you take your money, you lay it in the bank. What's the whole system based on? Honesty. I give you my money. I take your words. It's written on paper. It's backed up by the federal government and all this kind of stuff. In the end, I am trusting that you are going to give it back to me when I want it. It's based on honesty. When that honesty goes on, you can build a great system. The economy is built on honesty. It's built on trust. When I sell you a good, you are trusting the words that I say about my good, that it's going to be a good product, and if it's not, I'll take it back. It's honesty. It's trust. And so you build up a good economy based on trust. When you start to not trust somebody, you don't buy from them. And that whole thing starts to fall apart. In fact, the dollar bill, as much as, you know, we like to say we don't trust the government, every time you use a dollar, you're showing that I trust the government at least a little bit. Because they are setting a value on that dollar, and you're trusting that they're not going to change that overnight. Some countries do that. I think you know about it. Venezuela was one. Happened in Ukraine. It was overnight. They devalued the dollar by like 7 times. And Venezuela was like, I don't know, thousands of times. Their dollar became penny. You just saw people walking around with wheelbarrows of that. And it was just like, hey, can I buy a loaf of bread? Yeah, that'd be $10 million. That's not like an exaggeration. That's what it was. So people bring a whole wheelbarrow load in every time they wanted to get, you know, some groceries or something. But that economy is based on honesty. It's built on trust. When you have trust, I trust you, you trust me, we trust the dollar, you see a lot of things build. And our economy is so good, I mean, compared to where it was, where it is, I'm just saying in general, in the world, our economy is so good because we trust the government. And so that thing has built in that way. Marriage, same in marriage. When you have a wife and you have a husband and they can trust each other, you watch the marriage just do like this number. And it builds on itself. And then the final one would just be every relationship. As soon as you start to lose the honest factor, what do you watch in a relationship? You start to watch this thing roll downhill. And that stone will slowly sink to the bottom. But if there is an honesty, I trust you, you trust me, I say it even when it hurts, but I know that you're speaking the truth because I trust you and you've proven that. And then you just see this building factor and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So you build with your honest words. Consider the second one. You build with thought out words. You build with thought out words. Proverbs 15:28. The Bible says the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Contrast in here. One mouth ponders. One mouth does what? Pours it out. You think of people on either side of that aisle? You got people who ponder before they think. Very thoughtful. There was a guy my wife and I met, and I knew him from long ago, but she'd talk to him, and it was like there was this pause button before he would respond. I thought of it this way. I just wonder if he was pondering all of his words before. It was just kind of a hard conversation to have, but I just wonder if he was pondering. But you meet the other side, and you got people who just spew. You know, it just comes on out. Words that are building words are words that are thought out. If you've ever done public speaking in any form, you know, everyone hates it, but here's the key to a good public speech, a good sermon, a good whatever it is when you stand in front of people, and it's the key of a good relationship too. Ready? Think of your words before you say them. Think of your words before you say them. You ponder before you think. That's the way you build up. How about gentle words? Let's talk about gentle words. Proverbs 15:4 says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. You think of a tree. It just provides life. It provides life for the animals under it, shade. It provides life for the animals in it, the birds. It provides life for those who eat of it. And you just have this beautiful tree of life. The Bible says that's what gentle words are. Now, you might think it is strong words that get things done. I have a shirt that I wear. I wore it this last Friday in one of the, I guess it was, in that homeschool deal. Someone pointed it out, and they said, what's that shirt say? And my brother gave it to me. It says, don't make me use my pastor voice. It is true that sometimes strong words get stuff done. I mean, you've heard Dad say it before, and you knew when Dad meant it, right? You knew when Mom was on her last straw, And you don't go any further because strong words accomplish something. Jesus used strong words. God in the Old Testament used strong words. Jesus before the Pharisees, remember? You snakes, you brood of vipers, you hypocrites. I don't think he said that real gentle. I think he said it square in the eye and looked at them. You guys are a bunch of snakes. It's not gentle. That accomplishes something, but you got to think of the other side too. That a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so you might have a child who knows that they did wrong, and they're coming to you, and you can see it upon their face. They know their transgression they did is great. They know it was directly against you, and they know that you're angry with them. But you see it coming, they walk in the door, you give them a gentle rebuke. The right son will walk into his room, he will shut the door, and he will fall apart. I deserve this. Dad was nice to me. And he won't do it again. The book of Proverbs says a soft tongue will actually break a bone. Strong words break the bone. Son, soft words can break a bone. Personal experience, I think you could think of this too. When you think back on all the words that you've heard in your lifetime and the people you've heard rebukes from, whether it be your father, friend, or whoever it might be, it is not the words when they're in your face that really get to your heart, is it? It does something sometimes. But really, it's the words when they say, I don't really want to say this, but you need to hear it. And they tell it to you humbly, gently, and lovingly, and you fall apart. Gentle words have an incredible amount of power. Think about those next time you feel like unloading it. Gentle words. How about encouraging words? Proverbs 12:18 says, the tongue of the wise brings healing. In Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes a person glad. Do you remember when Saul was after David's life? And David's seeing a lot of success, and Saul is getting jealous over here, and so he starts to like just try and kill the guy. And you got to imagine, we always look at David like, oh, you know, he handled it. Big man of God, had to have been just fine. No, he's human. He had anxiety on his heart. He just probably terrified for his life as he fled. You know, strong in the Lord, but still terrified as he fled. And so Jonathan comes to him, it's 1 Samuel 23, and he tells him these words, don't fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king of Israel. This is Saul's own son. He's coming to David and saying, don't fear. My father will not find you. You are to be the next king of Israel, and my father knows that. In other words, what he's saying is, look, God is with you. He's anointed you. He'll take care of you. And so you don't have to be afraid of that. Can you imagine the encouragement that was to David at the time? Here's a man terrified and fleeing for his life, and here comes a friend and says, look, don't fear. God's with you, and when you're king, I'm going to be right here by your side. Do we as Christians need to hear from time to time, look, God's with you? Do we need a word of encouragement from time to time? Do we need to lift it up from time to time? I'll tell you that some of you send cards my way. Some of you, you give me your words. And I have a stash of cards that I turn back to from time to time because you just need that word of encouragement. And just from the personal experience, it lifts you up. It builds you. It strengthens you. It makes you strong in the Lord, and you keep going. So a word of encouragement can go a very long ways. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health of the body. Watched a little video online come across. There's this lady. I don't know how beekeepers do what beekeepers do. I think bees smell fear. I think that's what it is. Because you watch these beekeepers come, and she it was in a stump is where she went. She found this stump, and the bees were in it. She cracks it. She like literally splits the whole thing in half. And she's in, I don't know, it's like jeans and just a t-shirt, and then she's got that net only on her head. You know, like if you and I would do that, we'd go get the full bodysuit and get two or three of those and put those on. If you touch that bee's hive, you just think that's like, you know, you don't enter another man's house. There's consequences for that. You go into these hives and these bees, you'd think they'd just go eat people alive. But these people just go in there and she splits it up. But watch her. And she even grabbed part of the honeycomb. And I don't know, maybe she got a stinger too, but they weren't eating her up. But anyway, she takes that honeycomb and she pulls it out and it drips with honey. And she just takes it and takes a bite out of it. This is really all the video was, but you think about the words here. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and to the health of the body. You can really build someone's health with your words. That's literal. It's good medicine. Someone's down and out, give them some words. You can affect their physical health. You can affect their mental health. You can affect their spiritual health. So consider gracious words. Your words can build. You build trust. You build relationships. You build knowledge. You build your body. You build soul. You build health. You build all of these things. But if you look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 3, that's not really what's being spoken of in this. It actually is giving you the other side of the spectrum. Words are, like I said, it's like a weapon. It's like a knife. If you employ them in one way, you can cut up an apple, you can cut up your vegetables, you can cut up your meat, and you can make yourself a nice, beautiful meal. Something that's beneficial to the health, something that is nutritious and helpful and healthy. Or, if you wield a knife the wrong way, what do you end up with? You end up with a lot of blood. You know, you cut your hand, you cut other people. And so you see how this is just a dual-sided thing. You can use this knife, your words, for the greatest of goods and make you the beautiful meal, or you can use it, and there can be a lot of bleeding that goes on. I want you to consider some words that tear down and ask yourself if I say any of these words and think about this. The first set of words that tear down would be reckless words. Reckless words. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Sword thrust. You get the image? Someone walks by, rash words. It's what they do. Someone said it like this, consider the rash words that come out of your mouth like razors that go flying. You've been the victim on the end of this before, I'm sure. You've probably been the giver of it, and you either knew about it or you didn't know about it, but you consider this. When you spit out rash words, you're spitting out razor blades. It's usually out of frustration, sometimes out of anger, other times just because you're not thinking. You're saying what you feel, you should have kept it to yourself. You're unleashing the load. You should have just swallowed it. And what you're doing is you're causing a lot of wounds in other people, and sometimes those leave long-lasting scars. That's what reckless words are. I think of it like the Bible talks about rash words, like sword thrust. Just take that word rash. You know what road rash is? It's a bad deal. You run, just take you back to the kid days. You run, you trip, you skid on the sidewalk, and you look at your hands, and what do you got? At least first, it just looks like a bunch of rocks, but you sit and watch that thing for a moment, and soon the wounds start to open up. And after a day or two, you're just left with these scabs on your elbows, your knees, and your hands. And the Bible says that's what reckless words are. You're leaving other people with road rash. You feel better because you spit it out, but the rest of everyone is dealing with the road rash that you left behind on them. So beware of reckless words. Number two, beware of impulsive words. Impulsive words. Proverbs 29:20 says, do you see a man that is hasty? That is, he's just quick. He spits out words. He's not thinking. You see a man who is hasty with his words, there's more hope for a fool than for him. Similar to reckless words, these are just unthought out words. This is a person who is not quick to hear, slow to anger, and slow to speak. This is the man who is slow to listen, quick to anger, and quick to speak. You just feel it, say it, it's impulsive. Thirdly, beware of false words that is simply of lying. Beware of lies. Proverbs 6:16, I know I pointed this one out, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, but there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him, the second of which is lying. Of six things the Lord hates, one is liars.
Lying.
A lying tongue.
A tongue that cannot help but speak out lies, whether
little,
or whether they're great.
The Bible says the devil is a liar.
He's the father of lies.
Before all society is built on trust. All relationships are built on trust.
Banks are built on trust.
Your economy is built on trust.
As soon as you find
the first instance of a lie going on within a bank,
going on within a relationship,
going on in marriage,
as soon as you see it within the economy,
as soon as you see that you can't trust the other person,
you know what happens?
The stuff starts to fall down.
You see them build those kind of domino towers?
Some of these people are really incredible builders. They got the steady hand. I don't know. They build that thing, and that thing might be 6 feet high. And then they hit the dominoes, and they start to fall down. And then they just hit the bottom one at that whole 6 foot tower, and in an instant, you have what? Dominoes everywhere. Lies do that. They can destroy what you've built up for years in an instant. And other times it can be like a slow rolling stone that goes down a hill till it settles at the bottom. One way or another, false words, lying words, when someone learns that they can't trust you, you will never have a meaningful relationship. And here's something I've come to discover myself too, and this applies in like everything, but when somebody tells you they lied about someone else, guess what they're probably also doing to you? One of the words we'll get to here too, actually it's the next one, is gossip. We'll just bring it here. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. When someone gossips to you about someone else, guess what they're probably doing to other people about you? Don't trust liars. Don't trust whisperers. Flatterers is another one. People who pat you, Proverbs 26:28, a flattering mouth works ruins. These are people who pat you on the back one day, but all they do is find the soft spot to stab you the next day. Don't buy into flatterers. And then the last one here, words to beware of, is just simply this: words that are too numerous. Words that are too numerous. Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. Can you tell a story? Story when you talk too much? I have hundreds of them. It's like every day. You know, you just talk a little bit too much and you go home and say, I wish I would have just kept my mouth shut. You have to go by the law of averages here. When you open your mouth wide, it is just bound that you're going to say stuff that you didn't mean to say, that you wish you would have just kept in, and that you saw the words going out from you, and you were reaching out and saying, no, come back. But it's too late. There was a lady who went to her pastor, and she had been spreading this rumor around town, and she was feeling bad about it, so she comes to the pastor and says, what can I do? He says, take this bag of feathers and go put one on every porch in the community that you've been spreading this rumor around. She goes out, she spreads all the feathers, she comes back, and she says, okay, now what? He says, now go get all those feathers. She goes, the wind's blowing, I can't go pick all those up. He said, so it is with your words. You can be forgiven of the things that you've said. There's forgiveness out there, God will release you of the guilt, but you can't go and pick those words back up. They're like important papers. I know I've done this. I just couldn't think of what it was, but important papers. You ever drop them on a windy day? It's in a parking lot, I think, is where I did this. And you're looking, I thought it was one of those Menards rebates. That's what it was. We were missing one, and I thought maybe I'd drop, you know, you've got like $200 on one of them, and you drop it, it blows away, and you're going, oh, no. You're jumping through cars and try. It wasn't that. I don't know what it was, but you just spend forever trying to chase them down, hoping they'll hit something. I remember seeing a paper just roll, 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 and it just went into this pasture way out there. I'm going, by the time I make it 200 feet away, that thing's going to be 700 feet further down the line. It's the way it goes with your words. You might drop them today, but they will blow away, and your neighbor will find them in the fence 6 years down the road. You can't get them back. And so the Bible says, beware of words that are too numerous. Proverbs 21:23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. And Proverbs 17:27, whoever restrains his words has knowledge. Restraint. This is not that I'm just a quiet guy all the time. This is those times when I feel like saying it, like I just really want to let this go. But you keep your mouth closed. It said that, you know, you're given a gate. You have this tongue, you know. If you stare at your tongue too long, it'll weird you out. go stick it out in the mirror. It'll weird you out. But God has given you this tongue to make words, but he's also given you a gate in front of your tongue known as your teeth. You got to fight that. Control your teeth, you'll control your tongue. Keep your jaw closed, and whatever your tongue wants to say, it'll never come out. And so James says this, no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. In other words, when you harness the ability to keep your teeth closed when your tongue wants out, the Bible says you've now reached a level. You have reached a very special level. You've crossed a landmark. You've made it to a new point in life. And it's not that you did it once, it's that you do this every day as a pattern. So your words are powerful. With your words, you can lead a person out of hell. Your words are eternal. With the Father's words and attitude, within the first like 2 minutes that he walks into the door after work, he can set the demeanor of the home for the rest of the evening. It's powerful. You can build with them. You can build a great evening, a great work environment, a great relationship. You can also set stuff on fire. They can be deadly to people, drive people to the point of death. And they have. So words have great power. Guard your mouth. Number two, words reveal the heart. And I said, you know, these will be really quick here. Why should you guard your mouth? Because your words reveal your heart. We've covered this before, but out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart does what? It speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, let's say it together, the heart speaks. All right. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, what you have coming out of here is not just puffs of air. Your words have moral value. Moral value. And God is going to hold you accountable to them. There is no clearer picture into a person's heart than the words that he speaks. So someone might do a lot of nice deeds, and you say, hey, what a great guy. They might be a real nice and caring person. You say, what a great, nice and caring person. But what you really know what a person is made of? The things that come out of his mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's the picture of the heart. And so if he's got a lot of trash coming out of there, you know it's trash in the heart. If he's got a lot of blessings and encouragement and helpful and godliness coming out of his mouth, you know he's got a godly heart. It is the window to the heart. James 1:26 says, if you can't control the tongue, now here's a strong word. If you can't control your tongue, you are not a religious person. I show up at church every day. I read my Bible every day. I do this and that. I pray here and there. You know, I'm a godly person. If you can't control your tongue, your religion, the Bible says, is worthless. So your words reveal the heart, so guard it. Guard what you let out of there. And then thirdly, you will give an account for every word that you speak. That's a good, strong reason to guard your mouth. Matthew 12:36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. It's not just puffs of air. God is watching every word that you say. When you're by yourself, and you're with a crowd, and you're conforming to their language because that's how they speak. He is watching when you have times of ease and when you're working cattle. He is watching you. The words that you speak, the words that you text. He is watching the times when you have a good day and the days when you smash your thumb with a hammer. He's watching that. The Bible says he'll judge you by every word that you say. Every single word he's keeping an account of. And by your words, you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. Well, heard an ad for the, you've heard of the Dave Ramsey course. It's the financial management. Heard an ad for this. The guy said it like this. Would you like to know, would you like to tell your money where to go instead of wondering where your money went? I thought that's a good thing on our words too. Would you like to dictate where your words go rather than how they got out there? Like, oh no, come back. Another person put like, would you like to figure out how to not get hung by your tongue? A few pointers of advice. From the scriptures, number one, cut others some slack. Let every person be slow to anger, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Cut others some slack. We a lot of times say stuff because we get so irritated in our own spirits, but I think what we always have to remember is not to get mad at people who sin in other ways that we don't. In other words, we sin in our ways, they sin in their ways. Cut a little, give a little grace, give a little slack there. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger. It is his glory to overlook an offense. Number two, yield your tongue to God. Didn't sing the song, thought of it too late, but take my life and let it be. You know that song? Take my life and let it be. Verse in there, it says, take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my lips, Lord. You got to yield your tongue to God. Number three, think more. Ponder before you speak. Think more. Talk less. Talk less. Our chances of blowing it with our words, it's directly related to how long you have this thing open. You know, the Bible says not many of you should be teachers. I know why. You're prone. Well, one, people are following what you say. And you're held accountable for that. Two, the more you have this thing open, the more opportunity it is for you to say something really dumb. Think more, talk less. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise when he closes his lips and he is deemed intelligent. And I better say this one because someone will tell it to me afterwards. It is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all, what? All doubt. Number five, look to Jesus, the perfect example. He never spoke when silence was better. He was never silent when he was meant to speak up. So you just never forget to look to Jesus and how he spoke. I think that is the biggest cure and the biggest help in guarding your mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if you could just personalize this, say this. Death and life are in the power of my tongue. What I say this coming week is going to give life to somebody or it's going to kill somebody. Like, you have that choice. Am I going to drive someone down or am I going to pick somebody up? Everything that you say, you have that opportunity. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. Whoever opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Let's stand and we'll close this. Ask you to bow your head for a brief moment here. And can I tell you some good news on all this? I know it's really negative on guarding your mouth because we're prone to say dumb stuff, stuff we'll regret. But the real positive side of this too is that with your mouth, you can be justified, not because you said more good words than bad words, not because you lifted more up than you tore down, but because the Bible says this, with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I tell you, the power, the words that you have are very powerful. Don't overlook this. And you can be saved by the words that you speak. Because the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If the abundance of your heart is saying, God, I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. Lord, I have not been living right before you. I've been living for myself. I'm ashamed to admit it. I don't really want anyone to know it. But Lord, it's the reality. So come into my life, cleanse me of my sins, help me to live and walk in righteousness. If you call upon the Lord from the abundance of your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. So your words have great power. If you haven't believed, the Bible says you're condemned already by every word that you've spoken. It's going to be evidence against you. But if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the scriptures, which are a guide to us. Keep our mouths, as we're so prone to say and speak out of the sinful nature, to say foolish things, say things that embarrass ourselves, say things we regret, things we can't get back, things that cause razor burns and road rash in other people's life, and we prick people like a cactus. It makes us feel better, but the other person walks away in pain and being tore down, and they're now bearing the burden that we dumped on them. So Lord, I pray that you forgive us for the times that we've done that, myself included. And Lord, may you be gracious to us, merciful for the things that we've spoken, and help us to be mindful of it in true repentance, to walk forward every single time we fall down. Just walk forward, knowing that you're a gracious God, a forgiving God, make things right with other people if we need to do that. And to walk in the joy of your grace. So help us to guard our mouths and keep our mouths righteous before you. We pray to this end now, and all God's people said, amen.